I'm going to ask Chad to come and read to you out of 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, if you'd like to follow along. A pretty cool story.
I had it up here, but now I'm sorry, just a sec here, I had it. Give me just a moment. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 7. But Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, "Even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen?" But he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it." Now there were 4 leprous men outside the city gate who said to one another, "Why should we sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we shall also die. Therefore, let us desert to the Aramean camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So they rose at twilight to go to the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the Aramean camp, there was no one there at all. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When these leprous men had come to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, ate, and drank, carried off silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "What are we doing, or what we are doing is wrong? This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we will be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, "We went to the Aramean camp, but there was no one to be seen or heard there, nothing but the horses tied, the donkeys tied, and the tents as they were." Then the gatekeepers called out and proclaimed it to the king's household. So the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "I will tell you what the Arameans have prepared against us. They know that we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, 'When they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city.'" One of his servants said, "Let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, since those left here will suffer the fate of the whole multitude of Israel that have perished already. Let us send and find out." So they took 2 mounted men, and the king sent after them after the Aramean army, saying, "Go and find out." So they went after them as far as the Jordan. The whole way was littered with garments and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a measure of choice meal was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. The people trampled him to death in the gate, just as the man of God had said when the king came down to him. For when the man of God had said to the king, 2 measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel, and a measure of choice meal for a shekel, about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, the captain had answered the man of God, "Even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen?" And he had answered, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it." It did indeed happen to him. The people trampled him to death in the gate.
So I've preached on this many times about the lepers saying, "Why should we just sit here and die? Let's go do something. If we're going to die, let's do something courageous or do something other than just sit here," which is a good word for all of us, isn't it? Rather than just sit and be afraid about life, you know, and all the things that could happen that are wrong. But today I want to mention, I really want to focus down on what they said. We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we are keeping silent. You know, we are bent towards bad news. We can get upset with the media, but in general terms, the media are out to make money, and bad news makes money. Bad news, we like to watch bad news. And I don't want to say this too often because it's revealing, but I'm always preaching to me. I hope you get something out of it. But I'm bent towards bad news. I realize that. That's all I'm going to say. But we are bent that way. And I think part of it is our brains, as Jody was saying, they are bent a certain way. And I think over the course of life, we don't like being taken advantage of. And we don't like being what I used to call snookered. Or we don't like being tricked. We don't like being fooled. You know, and through the ages, I guess so often we'd rather hear about the bad news so that we're aware of it, you know, so that we can prepare ourselves, you know. So there was these two hippies on the side of the road one day, and the one held up a sign and said, "The end is near." And the other one held up a sign and said, "Prepare to die." And a car went by and waved to him, and then all of a sudden you hear this big crash. And so another car comes by, and they hold up the signs, and again the car goes by, waves to him, and a bunch of hippies there is having these signs, big crash. And finally one of the hippies looks at the other hippie and says, "You think we ought to put up a sign that says bridge out?" we tend to want to know about bad things to prepare ourselves and to be protected. But he also, we don't want to, you know, we don't like to fall for it. We don't like to be, like I said, we don't like to be tricked. And good news so often, well, let's also say it this way. Bad news stimulates us more than good news. Good news, a lot of times, we're leery of it. I mean, because usually somebody, if they tell you how something works really good, they're selling it, right? I mean, if somebody over... I'm one that if you oversell something, I don't do that with me. I'm not going to buy if you start ranting and raving about how great it is. You know, if you start saying, man, even when it comes down to people come up, "Oh, you ought to meet this preacher. He's really good, and he's just awesome." And, you know, and I go, "Oh, I don't want to meet him. I don't care. Nobody's that great." And then a product, you know, I always tell people, man, this product, it'll not only fix your knee, but it'll fix your wipers on your truck. Because, you know, I mean, it's just like we just over-exaggerate this stuff, and therefore it's like, no. But bad news, we'll take that, you know, because it stimulates our brain to hear bad news. It fires you up. And there's a lot of other reasons why maybe we are bent towards bad news than good news. But here are these guys, these lepers. Now here on this story, what amazes me is the Bible gives us these little stories. Jesus told stories. But we don't get all the details. I still think it's so funny. I've seen a lot of memes on this, but it's like, you know, get a text. "Hey, honey, I got a text from Bob. Joe's been in an accident." "Oh, he's been in an accident." "Yeah." "Well, what kind of accident?" "I don't know. I just got this text that said he's been in an accident." "Well, how many were involved?" "I don't know. He just said he was in an accident." "Well, was it a car or a motorcycle?" "I don't, you know, anybody been there?" Like, "I don't know. I'm not going to make it up." But even if the story's like this one, "I don't know, but isn't it interesting that this siege had been going on to where they were cannibalizing themselves inside the city?" They were eating their own babies. It was bad news day. Man, it was horrible. It wasn't like they're just a little bit hungry. It was a horrible situation. There was not much hope. And then four lepers, you know, they can't, and they, I mean, I've always loved this story because why sit here lest we die? And that has so often motivated me to make a decision to go for something rather than not, you know, just sit and wait. But then this time I'm looking at this story and it says, you know, this is not right. This is good news and we're being silent. And that was really hitting me. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. That's what it means. It's a good story. And there's a verb form that says go out and proclaim, you know, and the angels came and shouted out the good news that Jesus was coming. And then we are been commissioned to go out into all the world and preach this good news, proclaim this good news, put up a sign and say, hey, good news here. And I've always thought the word gospel was an interesting word. You know, especially some of the older timers when I was young would say, that's the gospel truth. I go, what does that mean? You know, it's like it sanctioned it or something. But anyway, the word just simply means it's a good story, it's good news, and it needs to be proclaimed. Listen to what some of the scriptures. Here's Mark 8:35. It says this. Jesus is saying, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, this is the noun form of the gospel. So it's saying the good news, noun, description of a thing or place. If you lose your life for it, you'll save it. Mark 10:29 says this. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake. And it goes on to say, I will reward you 100-fold. That was a scripture that early in my 20s I yielded to and said, so be it. That's what I'm going to do. In Mark 1:15, it tells us about Jesus and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. So this good news is something. It has great significance. I think the word gospel, if I remember right, it's said in different ways, but it's over 70, 80 times used in the New Testament. That's a lot. So I want to go to Romans. Oh, I'm going back up to that story. Isn't it amazing on that story that this has been going on for a while, a long time. Situation was horrible. So the four lepers, again, great story of just saying, why sit here lest we die? Let's go do something. Let's go out to the army. Maybe what? I don't know. They'll probably kill us, but maybe they'll let us eat. Maybe they'll let us have, you know, whatever. And it doesn't say this. It just says that the Lord made a sound. Let the army hear a sound of chariots. But in my heart, I'm thinking, I'm not sure that would have taken place if the four lepers hadn't walked out. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there was something. I listen to other preachers. I think, man, you guys just exaggerate anything. You'd say anything you want to make a sermon. So I try not to do that. I'm trying to be honest here. But I think it's significant the way it's written here, saying, I think it was the four lepers walking out there that the Lord magnified their sound. I don't think that sound would have been heard if the four lepers hadn't walked out. Think about that. The lepers at that time were people that were just shunned, I mean, because it was a contagious thing. It was like unclean. I mean, when you walked, If you're a leper and you're walking by people, you'd have to say, unclean, unclean, so nobody'd come near you. It was humbling. It was, here you're suffering from a horrible disease that's eating your nerves and eating your skin and eating you up. And then you had to proclaim the bad news that you're a leper so nobody would come near you, you know. And then they were never hugged and they were never loved on. And it's horrible to be a leper. Hideous. Bad news. But here, God uses four lepers that finally say, we're not going to sit here and die. Let's go out there. And all of a sudden, and here's the other thing that kind of amazed me. Here's this courageous army that's got this city surrounded, and they think they hear chariots. I think they ran off in their underwear. I mean, it's like they freaked them out. They left everything. They'd left the coffee on the pot warming up. You know, they vamoosed the whole bunch of them and a lot of them. And then, isn't it amazing? You go into one tent and there's gold and there's silver and there's clothes and they were packed up with possessions. I guess, you know, they were nomadic people. They were wanderers, so I guess they carried everything with them. I mean, that's the tribe they were in. And so these lepers, they go and just the logic of thinking about these lepers, okay, let's take it out and hide this, you know, and let's get another one, hide it, and then go, man, what are you guys going to do with it? You're lepers. Anyway, pretty cool story. And then, you know, there's little things in there like, you know, the guy just says, that could never happen. And he doesn't get to see it. Don't always want to be the doubter. Might be the one that keeps your mouth shut sometimes when everybody else, you know, just maybe just watch and learn. But anyway, he didn't get to see it. Now I want to go to Romans, the first chapter. And this was, Jody and the team used this scripture, Romans 1, 16. I'm going to start with 15 for the Sela camp. So for my part, Paul says, I'm eager to preach the gospel, the good news, to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this thing called good news. Now, we relate it to the good news about Jesus, but the word itself simply just means good news, good story. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God. It's the power. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4 says, this gospel is not just mere words. It's about power. Jesus talked about it. The kingdom of God is about power. It's not about just a belief system that we sign up for, whatever else, that sounds good, looks good, preaches good. Listen, people, you know, a lot of times when I look at people's lives, I'm not looking at just how sweet they are or whatever. Have you got any power? Have you got any power? Can you withstand anything? You know, there are people just, boy, if that happened to me, I'd just fall apart. And I go, why do you say that? I don't know about you, but I want power in my life. Power is a good thing. Power comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite. It's talking about energy. It's talking about work being done. It's talking production. One of the things I struggle with is I feel so much better in life when I can do something. Power. I can make something. It was fun to build houses, to see them come up and walk away and say, there's a house now that wasn't there. It was fun on the farm to do things that made difference. When I started ministering, it was really tough because I thought, I can't. I'm just talking to people. It's what I do in my spare time. you probably heard me say this, but I was with about three other pastors one day, and I was still building houses at the time. I took the morning off to meet with them. They had some sort of meeting, and we're having a great time of fellowship, encouraging each other, you know, and kind of firing each other up about the gospel and about the Holy Spirit and all that. And like they were hungry for that. And, of course, they knew in my life I was living that. I was living in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was living with power, and they knew it. And so they're pulling on my hand. Finally, I said, oh, man, I said, I got to go back to work. And I'll never forget it. It just one of the pastors said, you are working. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to say, though, I like power, and I like to see things done, and I like to see things accomplished. Problem sometimes with working with people, you can't tell what's going on. You don't know if there's anything going on. Okay, because you plant little seeds in their heart that might take months, years, decades before they harvest. But the kingdom of God is power. I love power. You know, I get on my Indian and it's got quite a bit of horsepower. And it just seems an awful shame. You know, when you get mad at all these bikers for, you know, and... You know, and boom, you know, everybody, oh, the idiots, and everybody can hear them. And I go, yeah, I know it bothers me too, but I'm one of them. It's just, it's not right. Remember what the leper said? It's just not right to have that much power and not let somebody know about it. And not to use it and not to demonstrate it and not to go fast. I'm wiser now, I think. And I leave my bike in the garage during the rally. Power. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, this it thing. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not to everyone, but to everyone who believes. Salvation. Soteria is the Greek word. And it comes from zozo, which is just this word that says Savior in action. So your deliverance from fear, your freedom from anxiety, your sound-mindedness, your healthy body, your prosperity, your financial blessing is all contained in this word, salvation. Most of the time, and growing up, it was pretty much isolated. It was not said to me, but it was indicated, and it was in my thought life growing up. It was kind of like salvation predominantly would just meant that you're born again and you're going to go to heaven. But it was not talked a lot about the salvation right here in your human body, about being delivered from sickness and disease, from poverty, from fear, from anxiety, from depression, from discouragement. But this word is very, very clear in the Greek. It means all those things. You know, people get mad. Well, you guys, you know, some of you are prosperity preachers. Yes and amen. The whole book is from Genesis to Revelation is God trying to coach us how to be successful. Why do you think it shouldn't be preached? This is good news, is it not? It's not right not to preach good news. And the good news is He is our Savior, and He saves us from everything, and not just from things, but He saves us into things of blessing. And the power of that is the gospel. So when you and I hear about the bad news, as Jody was sharing, you know, the whole world's being, yeah, the world's, well, we're all born sinners and we're all born angry. You know, I was talking to Pat here, you know, but as the chief of police here in town and the sheriff were talking to a friend of mine, and they said, how's it going? They said, pretty good, pretty mild the year, but just a lot of people mad at each other. Screaming and yelling. Yeah, why? Because we're all born in anger. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this good news because it's the power to save me, to heal me, to deliver me, to set me free, and to set others free. Verse 17 goes on and says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So it's believing and trusting in the good news. And again, one of our problems is we don't like to be taken. You know, I came out of high school, and I won't go into all of it, but I was seeing this girl that was my sister's age, 4 years younger than me, and she was just a senior, and she was a sassy gal. And I don't know who all listens to our videos, so I won't say names, but people can figure it out probably. But I tend to like women that were sassy and tough. That's why I married Lisa. And but I was sharing with her the gospel. And I was super on fire. And I was cranked about the kingdom of God. I was cranked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was cranked about the power of God and healing. I was cranked about everything about God. He's given us everything. And I was really laying it out to this gal. And she finally said to me, I said, what do you think? And she had a Catholic background. And she said, I'm sorry, John. Now, those are words I've heard a lot. I'm sorry, John. You know, like the Dear John letters. You know, and I thought, here it comes. Here it comes. And she is the one that I mentioned a while back that she finally met me at her door once. And she says, I don't want to see you anymore. You know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I said, okay. And as I walked away, she slammed the door. Then she opened the door and she said, oh, by the way. And I go, oh, what? Oh, maybe there's hope. And she goes, by the way, you're not very good looking. And then slammed the door. And I always joke that I crawled off the lawn. It really didn't hit me that hard. I already knew that. But here's what she said that was powerful. She said, what you're sharing is just too good. And I don't want to take a chance of believing it and then be disappointed. And she literally said, I don't want to believe. Man, that impacted me. Because I realized how many people are not accepting the good news and believing it because they have been tricked before and they don't want to be put to shame. So they'd rather walk off without salvation rather than, like the lepers, why sit here lest we die? Let's do something. Let's take a wild shot at this. I mean, really, what they did was a wild shot. There's no way that army would have treated those lepers kindly. They're lepers. The last thing they want is them coming into the camp. This whole, it's just like the royal, you know, man there. Heaven's doors would have to open for that amount of stuff to be sold for that cheap. But it did happen, didn't it? The good news was, it was too good to be true almost, but it came to pass. And that is our gospel. And that is our power, if we believe. So I've been meditating on this all week and all that, and I jumped in my sauna last night, and I hadn't been in there for a while. And when I haven't been in there for a while, I get used to that, but when I haven't been in it for a while, it's like, oh, I got 20 more minutes to go, and I feel like I can't breathe, and I'm dripping like crazy, so then I got to distract myself. And so my distraction, you know, but I was meditating on this, and then I had my phone in there, so I clicked on the screen, you know, and I was just thinking about this whole message of this good news. And I'm trying to think about ways to find myself sharing more good news. And I was thinking, we may just have more sessions here at church where we open it up and somebody just, hey, who's got some good news? And we listen to it. Because the good news, it's not just, it is talking about Jesus for sure, but it's also just good news is powerful to affect your life. And we need not be silent about it. So we had some good, you know, somebody, how was your week? And I go, man, it's kind of boring. And then I go, no, we had a fire. Bad news. Man, that fire took off. Well, I was in the church here. I looked out and there's smoke right straight over the hill. And I go, that's awful close to our house. And Jody got, you know, so I buzzed out the back way here and I went around, circled it, found out it started out there in Highway 79. You could just see right where it started. And it was gone. And I go, okay, it's in the open pasture. It looks pretty good. I came around, and it looks like it, you know. And there was definitely some trucks coming, and some vehicles around. And it was headed towards the campground where we had Sela. But I said, you know, I got time. And then I came into town, came back out, and I go, whoa, that thing has moved really fast. And I went out to Amanda Baker's out there, and I was taking pictures. And by the way, you know, you gotta appreciate this, but Pastor Bill Myrles was with the governor at that time, and he got the phone call and said, we need to make this an emergency right away. And he did, and that allowed us to get the helicopters and the planes, which super good news. Man, it's impressive. Moving fast is important on a fire. And I was pretty calm about it because I got to Man, and I'm looking at it, man, it's coming right for all the bakers, the bakers in the row, Max and Chuck, and I go, and she says that I said, and I kind of barely remember this, but I showed up and I just said, in the name of Jesus, it won't cross the road. I don't hardly remember saying that. And thank God that was the plan and it didn't cross the road, but it took Max's mailbox, I don't know if you saw the video, but it's pretty cool when the helicopter is dropping the lagoon water on the fireman. Hit him smack dab, just soaked him. Pretty cool. All I'm saying is the bad news was we had a fire and it was moving fast. The good news is they put it out. But I was thinking, man, if it crossed that road, it could be really bad news. You know, you get the winds. It's fast, and we're seeing homes all over the country burn up. We're seeing there's fires all over. I'm really grateful that they put it out. I'm really grateful for all the times that God has saved us when we saw it and he delivered us. But you know what we don't know is how many times he saved us that we don't know. I would hate to guess, but I bet I've quoted Psalms 91 in the thousands of times. There was time with our family that we were learning it. We were quoting Psalms 91 three, four, five, 10 times a day. It was one of the few scriptures I've just got embedded in me. And it talks about treading upon the lion and the cobra, young lion and the serpent you will trample down. So yesterday I was down to our garage and I had a little go-kart I was selling, and a friend of mine came and said he wanted it, and I kind of was hoping he wouldn't buy it because I was thinking, I put it on Facebook and in about 1 hour I had 17 hits. You know what that does to you? Dang, I'm selling it too cheap. Dang, if they all want it, I should keep it myself. And anyway... And I thought, I should have had Chris take it and fix it. But anyway, he wanted it. So I opened the garage door. If you look down here, there's a garage walk door, and then there's a regular garage door. And I opened the door, and I walked right in, right? And I went, because the go-kart was right there. I got the go-kart, and I drug it out, and we put it in a trailer, and we talked for a little bit, and I walked back in. And I was going to turn around and close the door, and I turned around, and there's a rattlesnake. A big one. I stretched him out. He's 40 inches long. He had 12 buttons on him. But he's coiled up right beside the walk door, between that and the garage door, in the studs. And I walked within a foot of that. I didn't think about that. I just said, snake. Now, I'm not like my brother. My brother saw a snake. He screams. I mean, he screams like no girl. I'm sorry, girls, you win on a lot of areas, but you do not win when it comes to screaming next to my brother, okay? And that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? And that's a piercing scream. I mean, he'll drop people. I mean, the end is coming. Prepare to die. I didn't do that. I don't know. I stayed calm at the moment, and I looked around for a weapon, found a nice nail remover for shingles, if you ever seen one of those, big candle, a lot of little spikes. Perfect. And this thing never rattled, never moved. I nailed him the first shot, then he wiggled. Got rid of him. Yes, I kept the buttons. And then I came to my office and I go, oh my gosh, I walked past that. And I told my friend, I said, I was in shorts and sandals. I never wear shorts and sandals. He said, jeans wouldn't have helped you. But it feels more comforting to me if I would have had boots on. And I sat there in my office and go, I was about to shut that door. That would have alarmed him and walked past him again. I had such a great opportunity of getting struck. Now, I will confess, I'm a man of mercy and grace, but snakes do not qualify. They must die. They must die. I tread upon them. And then just thinking about it, because how many times have we walked by and never saw them? You know it has happened a lot. How many times are we just seconds away? I looked at all the accidents that we had this rally, and it just breaks my heart. It's just a split second, and you're gone. You think you're secure. You think, you know. Our salvation, the power of our salvation is in good news. It is not right to keep silent about it. And I want to just encourage myself and you, let's be a little bit more vocal about good news. When we give good news to each other, we are giving them power, their opportunity to believe. So, but I was thinking it's not just about I think there's a lot of power that could be released from us and just talking about good things that have been happening to us and being grateful for that and proclaiming that to each other. And speaking good news over each other, speaking blessings over them. We do this in our family all the time. We hardly ever let anybody go without saying, angels be about you, protect you, be safe. I say be safe to everybody. When I'm riding my motorcycle, I don't know for sure what the lingo is. But when you're riding, you know, there's this little wave right now, two fingers down. It's kind of funny. Before the rally, a few bikes around and we're riding through the hills. Everybody's doing this and it's like, you know, and I look at it this way, it's bless you and be safe. You're one of my partners, you're on a bike. During a rally, nobody waves. Nobody does nothing. I mean, just so. But just things that, there's power in saying good things and good news to people. But then I was thinking, but Lord, I want this power. And so in the sauna, I pulled my phone up and I started with Psalm 16 and had it read it to me because I'm sweating. And I went through about 10 psalms. And from 16, Psalm 16 is one of my favorite psalms. And then on through, but Psalms 22 is all about Jesus on the cross, telling us that his heart was going to melt like wax. His joints were going to be dislocated, and when you hang on a cross, all your joints are dislocated. all that prophecy was in there. And then all the prophecy that you'll not forsake me. You will deliver me. You will raise me up. And that story, that gospel, that good news about Jesus coming and dying for us, and then the power that came to raise him up from the dead, and that power that now lives inside of us, and that power that is the Holy Spirit is now with us at all the time. He is all powerful. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's good news. That's the gospel. And when you and I hear it and believe it, it is the power to deliver us. And I'm telling you, I don't think it's a coincidence that that snake didn't bite me. I don't believe it had a choice. I'm saying that over you and all everything that we have in our future. Let us believe in this good news, this gospel, that it brings salvation, delivers us from sickness, disease, tragedies, conflicts. It won't doesn't say that we won't go through them. It just says we will be delivered. You know, if you're going to get delivered from something, you first got to have it. So don't worry about when you got trouble. Don't worry about when you get diagnosed or whatever else, because the salvation comes from your Savior. And the power is in the good news. And so I believe as a church body, one thing we're going to do is just be a little bit more. No, let's don't be a little bit more. Let's be a lot more verbal about this good news. It'll save our marriages, save our kids, save our life, save our finances. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Because he is with us. That's the good news. Father, we want to thank you and worship you today for this incredibly good news. You are our Savior. In every area of our life, small things, big things, little things. And Father, Jesus himself said, this kingdom is here, now, at hand. Rejoice in the power of salvation, for I've come and I've given it freely to you. Take it, run with it, be free with it. Take the spoils and share them with the whole world. We're like those four lepers. We're on the move. And we're proclaiming this good news to everyone. By the way we live, by the way we move, by the things we say, by the things we do, we proclaim this good news. We believe it. Amen. Have an awesome week. Tread on some snakes if you want to, but then go to the good stuff and get the gold, the clothes, the food, and ransack the tents. God bless you.